Brother Glenn's asked us to read from Ephesians 4, 14 to 32. Ephesians 4, 14 to 32. One of the headings in my Bible was titled, Living as a New Person. And as I read down over those verses there, I think there's something for each of us to apply to our own lives. It's easy to look at other people's lives, but we need to look at our own lives and see where we can improve in things. Okay, start with verse 14 in Ephesians 4. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Greetings tonight in Jesus' precious name. The call we got right before leaving the house hit me rather hard. Not knowing how Ann is, precious little girl that God brought into this world and gave life to, had various struggles. Before I preach, I just want to pray again for her, and I want us to all do that. Heavenly Father, you know the condition of little Annie, and Lord Jesus, even when you were on this earth, you took up the little children in your arms. And I ask, Lord, that you would do that right now. Take up little Ann and care for her. God, you know how precious she is to her parents, her loved ones. We know she's precious to you. And Father, we ask for your protection, for your keeping power. You'd be with her folks, Lord, during this hour. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
I want to speak tonight from Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 14. Entitled, Henceforth, No More Children. I like that word, henceforth. That would be the title tonight, Henceforth, No More Children. It's true, as Christians, as we go through our life here on earth, we keep growing and learning and maturing in our Christian faith. And this occurs, I believe, over our whole lifetime. Sometimes we call it sanctification. It's important that we are moving beyond the child stage of faith in Christ. Question we might ask tonight, are you more deeply rooted? Am I more deeply rooted? Am I stronger? Are you stronger, more solid in Christ than when you first became a Christian? Henceforth, I have trouble reading the scripture here with my glasses on, so if I take them on and off, I hope it's not too bad of a distraction. I need to get bifocals, I suppose. But the Bible starts out here in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. That word henceforth. In other words, from now on, from this point forward, things are going to be different. Henceforth. There's going to be different behavior. There's going to be different attitudes, different conduct, a different lifestyle. Beginning now, that we henceforth, from here on, we no longer act like children who are easily tossed to and fro. We're talking spiritually, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's not be like children in that regard. The rest of this verse, you know, the verse 14 describes what we, as we grow in Christ, and as we've been a Christian maybe for some years, this verse tells us, you know, what we no longer want to be like. As enough time has gone by that some maturity should have set in and taken root in our lives, that we would no longer act like a, you might say, babe in Christ, who is only nursing on the milk of the Word and has never graduated to the meat of the Word. As Christians tonight, God's Word challenges us, you and me, to be growing and not standing still, not still in that infant stage, not still in that crib stage where a crib protects us and we're very vulnerable if we get outside of it. Tossed to and fro, the Bible says here, that we henceforth, that we from this point on be no more children tossed to and fro. Picture a plastic bag in the wind. No stability. It's here, and then it's over there, and then it's out there. And any which way the wind turns, that's the way the little plastic bag goes. That's the picture we get here from God's Word of a Christian who has not grown, and they're still like a baby. And they're easily tossed to and fro. Or maybe picture the waves of the sea, and there's a piece of trash out there, maybe a bottle, and it gets tossed to and fro. There's no stability. You don't know where it's going to end up next. Carried about with every wind of doctrine, our text says here tonight. Carried about. The bag is carried about. The bottle on the ocean currents is carried about. It's never in one place. It's always carried here and carried there. Beliefs
change every time the wind changes, every time something different is heard, every time a different teacher comes along on the radio or even in a lot of pulpits in churches, and the listener hears it and now they believe different because they just heard different. And so there's a constant changing carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men, that word sleight is speaking of trickery. There are those who are in teaching positions and in leadership positions spiritually, religious circles, who are on purpose with cunning craftiness, with sleight, with trickery, are leading people in a wrong direction, a direction that is not consistent with God's word. Who is doing this? False teachers, apostates. Many times they are not obvious lions that are roaring about seeking whom they may devour. Easy to pick out, easy to recognize. Oh, here's a false teacher. He's a roaring lion. He's vicious, and he's out to get me. A lot of times these false teachers are not that way at all. Rather, many times they are angels of light. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So there's a lot of deceit. There's a lot of trickery. The phrase there in our scripture, by the sleight of men, and then cunning craftiness. And they wait to deceive. The apostasy in our own denomination is a very good example of what we're reading here tonight out of God's word in Ephesians 4. Many who are weak, like children, are being deceived. Brother Ray and I were told when we went to minister's classes that you guys are okay. You guys are well-rooted and grounded, and you know what to reject, and you know what to receive. But I'll tell you tonight, there were men in that class that we cared a lot about who were not as well-rooted and grounded as Brother Ray and I. And we were rooted and grounded because of years of solid teaching and preaching here at Pleasant Hill and time spent as Sunday school teachers and deacons. But there were men in class that had none of that. And what they needed was sound teaching, and they were not getting it. And I fear many of them were being deceived. Now, as concerning be not children, it does say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." So there are some aspects of children, there are some characteristics of children that we need to imitate. They're humble. They're very quick to forgive and forget and move on. If only we could learn that from our children, we'd be doing better. But it says there that be not children in understanding. Be not children in Bible knowledge. Be not children in biblical truth, in the doctrines and the theology that we should be well grounded in, and have moved up into from the time we were babes in Christ. Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. But in understanding, be men. In other words, in understanding, be mature. Be men. It takes very wicked and ungodly men and women to purposely seduce and deceive others into false doctrines and error. And they are in our larger church right now. You know, the phrase cunning craftiness there in our text. I believe cunning craftiness speaks of them being skillful, using great skill in finding ways to seduce and deceive their listeners. Cunning craftiness. They're skilled. They're good at what they do. They share enough truth so that the rest kind of just flows in there and is accepted. Skillful. To lie in wait speaks of ambush. They lie in wait to deceive. To lie in wait is to ambush one. That is, take one by surprise. Take one off guard. And so the admonition from God's word is, henceforth, be no more children. That is, according to 1 Corinthians 4, 14, 20, in understanding, be no more children. Be no more children in faith. Be no more children in being rooted and grounded in God's word, in the truth that will lead to salvation. Be no more children. Verse 15, but now we know that we're going to change course here. We're going to have a new thought. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But henceforth be no more children, but instead of staying as children, instead of staying at that novice stage of a Christian where there is not much understanding, not much knowledge, but instead of that, the admonition from God's word is that we would speak the truth in love and grow up into him. Grow up into him. Which is the head. Even Christ. So we're growing up and we're going into Jesus Christ. And that means we're growing up and into his eternal word. The word of God, the truth that he gives us about himself and about God and his plan for man and his redemptive plan. Mark chapter 10, as we're a little bit about children here yet, and then we'll let that go. I understand the scripture has some things to say about children and we're to learn from them. Mark chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, but when Jesus saw it, I should read verse 13, they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So yes, there are characteristics of children that we do want to imitate. And we do not enter the kingdom of God except we enter it as a little child, one who trusts, one who simply takes God at his word, just like a child takes mommy or daddy at their word, one who believes easily and has humility to accept the gospel message. Our best defense tonight, brothers and sisters, against false teachers is to study and to know God's word, that we may know the truth and grow strong and established in it. Speaking the truth or following the truth in love. Here in verse 15, speaking the truth or following the truth in love. Relate to fellow Christians with sincere love, sharing the truth with them. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Holding to the doctrine of Christ while loving one another. Love is tremendous. Unity is precious. But not at the expense of truth. Never at the expense of truth. Because at that point, it is not worthwhile. May grow up into him. Henceforth, be no more children, but grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ and be strong in him and in the power of his might. Grow in scripture knowledge. Grow in truth. Grow in faith. Don't stay small in understanding. In scripture knowledge and faith. By lovingly teaching and receiving the truth, we grow up. We mature in Christ. The phrase of Scripture, grow up into Christ, more fully rooted in Christ, more established in him, more unmovable, knowing that Jesus, our rock, can be trusted. We can have faith in him and we can place our lives in his hands. We can place our loved ones in his hands. We can place our problems in his hands, knowing that he is faithful and that he is a sovereign God who knows best and loves us. A tree gets nutrients. It gets strength, it gets life from its roots. By being connected to Christ, we grow. We receive strength, nutrients, good health, energy, spiritually. Back a page or two in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Talk about growing up in Christ. Here we can have the fullness of God in Christ. As we move on in our Christian experience and in our faith, a few pages ahead in your Bible, the Epistle to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. There, reading verses 6 through 10. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Oh, the blessings of the Christian in Christ. What is available to us to be strong? We're weak in ourselves. And the Christian that thinks he can face the enemy on his own strength fails time after time. But tonight we can be victorious because of Christ, in whom we are rooted and grounded and built up in. And in him we can grow. And if we're not growing, it is not God's fault. It is not Jesus Christ's fault. We had better look in the mirror. We had better take inventory. If we are not growing, if we are stagnant, if we are backsliding, it is our own fault. We're not doing something right. We're not in God's word. We're not praying. We're not in that communion. That we may grow up into him, the Bible says, in all things. Knowledge, in knowledge and understanding, in love and faith, in good works. We are growing up in and up into Jesus Christ in all things, in all of life. Not keeping a part of our life back for ourselves. Not keeping a part of our life back for the world or the enemies of Christ. If we do that, we're not going to grow. But in all things, giving Jesus lordship over it all, we will grow in him and be built up and more deeply rooted all the time. Growing in Christ toward maturity, instead of remaining as babes in Christ. Babies who are fed well usually grow well. And so a Christian must be connected to its life source, and that life source is Jesus Christ, fed by the word and prayer and communion. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is our head, and when we fully depend on him and commune with him and grow up into him, then our lives honor him and glorify his holy name. And that's why we're here on this earth, to bring glory to our Savior. We can only be complete and grow to maturity when we are fully in Christ, completely connected, completely in tune, communing, no sin blocking our fellowship. That is when we can be complete and grow to maturity. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 talks about the Christian that is flourishing, the Christian that is growing. Blessed is that man. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so on. And in verse 3 it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Is that a picture of you and I tonight as we live for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we anything close to that picture that you receive from God's word there in Psalm chapter 1? You picture that fertile valley with a stream flowing through it, and you picture that mighty oak whose roots are being fed by that water and the nutrients of that good soil along that stream, and it's just a picture of health. I don't always feel like that tree, but it's available. And if I don't always feel like that tree, it's all my fault. And I'm forfeiting what is the best things in this life. if I'm not feeling like that tree. A tree hath growth rings. I'm sure many of you have cut a tree down already and you notice those rings. And some of those rings are farther apart than others. And when that ring is farther apart, that tree really grew that year. I wonder what our Christian growth rings look like. And it doesn't really matter what they look like before men many times, but it does matter what our growth rings look like before God. What do my growth rings look like? One more verse concerning that, John chapter 15 and verse 5. Here we have the vine and the branches and how there needs to be that connection. We've been talking about roots, but we also have this analogy in God's word of the vine and the branches. Jesus Christ, the vine, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And there in verse 5 it says, I am the vine, ye, that is, you and I are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. Without Jesus, without being in him, we can do nothing. Verse 16 of our text. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. From whom? Verse 16 starts out saying, from whom? Now, who is whom? It is referring to the end of the preceding verse. It is referring back to Christ, the head of the body. From whom? From Christ, the whole body. From Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Referring to Christ at the end of verse, the previous verse, Christ is our head. The whole body, I believe, refers here to the body of believers, the church. A congregation of believers must be connected to and in communion with and in tune with its head, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order for that congregation to be healthy and to flourish and to carry out God's will and purpose for the church. As Christians grow in Christ, Christ brings them into a harmonious relationship with each other. As we grow up into Christ, we have that harmonious relationship with our Savior and our Heavenly Father, but we also have it horizontally with each other, with our brothers and our sisters. It spreads out into those relationships here on earth and in the body of believers especially. Fitly joined together and compacted. I believe that word compacted, we could say knit together. Fitly joined and knit together. How is this accomplished? The next phrase of the scripture there, by that which every joint supplieth. That is how we are knit together. That is how we are fit together and knit together. By that which every joint supplieth. We have an analogy here between the human body and the body of Christ, which is the church. When every joint and maybe every ligament, as I think it would speak, every joint, every ligament in the human body, when they all function properly, you can walk, you can get around, you can do tasks, and you can function the way the human body was meant to function, and you can carry out various duties when all those joints and ligaments are working. But when one of those joints does not want to work right or causes a lot of pain, and I know some of you sitting here know everything I'm talking about, it slows the whole body down, and it's hard for the whole human body to be well and to function. The one ailing part affects the whole. Here we have this analogy between the body of Christ and the human body. In the church, the joints and ligaments are the individual members exercising their gifts and sharing their talents and abilities for the upbuilding and encouragement of all the members. When the members of the body use those things that God has blessed them with, they are blessing their brothers and sisters, and the whole body is encouraged, the whole body is blessed and enabled to serve the Lord better. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, instead of joints or ligaments, the reference there is to feet and hands and eyes and ears. And, you know, we know that all the members are necessary to have a complete body. And it says there in 1 Corinthians 12, when it's talking about the different parts of the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, the ears, and the nose, and the, you know, if all were hearing, where were the smelling, it says there. And one can't say to the other, I don't need you. That's simply not true. For the body of Christ to be complete and to function as God intends it to, everybody is important. And you need to be using what God has given you so that others are blessed and admonished and exhorted and encouraged to be faithful. All the members are necessary to have a complete body. We have a list of gifts given here earlier in Ephesians 4. And we also have lists in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 16 continues here, and we have the phrase to the effectual working. In other words, it is effective. And we have the phrase in the measure of every part. In other words, each member doing his share. Each member doing their share. Each member doing what God has called them to do in the body to make the work of the body complete, and so that the body works and functions at its best. Maketh increase of the body, the scripture says. In other words, the body grows when all these things are in place and when everyone is doing their job. When everybody is working for the Master who hath given them through the Spirit various gifts. On to the edifying of itself in love. That's the last phrase in verse 16. On to the edifying of itself in love. You know, back in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, after that list of gifts, the Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No more children tonight, but growing up into Christ, into his fullness, into his blessed power and victory. And here we see why every member of the church must be busy utilizing the gifts that God has blessed them with through the Spirit, so that all are edified, so that all come in the unity of the truth, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and become perfect, become mature, so nobody stays back in the crib in the infancy of Christianity, where they can be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and so easily overcome by the enemy. We don't want anyone to stay back there. And so verse 14, let's stop being children. Let's grow and mature in Christ by his grace. Verse 15, by his grace. And let's all do our part, verse 16, in making the body of Christ what it should be, to the edifying of every member and bringing honor and glory to the head of the body, Jesus Christ. So, when the members of a local church stop being children, but rather grow up in Christ, and with love for their brothers and sisters use their talents, abilities, and gifts, the church will edify itself in love. The end of verse 16. Verse 17, this I say, therefore. There's another word to catch, therefore. Therefore is an important word connecting the coming thoughts with the former thoughts. It resumes the thought in verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians 4. In verse 1, the Bible says there in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called. And so in verse 17, this I say, therefore, is connecting that former thought of walking in a way that pleases the Lord, a walk that is worthy. And it's also since each member is blessed with a spiritual gift, if someone walks vainly, like other Gentiles, that person's contribution will be sorely missed by the congregation. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And we are being reconnected with the first thought in the chapter, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Henceforth, same word that we saw in verse 14. I like that word. We have this word henceforth again in verse 17. This I say, therefore, connecting former thoughts to the coming thoughts and testifying the Lord that ye henceforth, from this point on, from this time forward, things are different. That from this time forward, you're not going to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind. What is that? It's a futile, an empty, and a meaningless lifestyle. One who all the energy that goes into it is going to all pass away when we shut our eyes in death. And that kind of a lifestyle, vanity of their mind, that empty life, which void of real meaning, that is only found in living for Christ. When one lives that lifestyle, they hurt themselves, and if they're a member of the church, they hurt the congregation as well. The Christian's walk, that is the Christian's lifestyle, must be markedly set apart from the unconverted heathen. The Christian's lifestyle must be markedly set apart from the unconverted heathen. Verse 18 and verse 19 goes on to further describe the unconverted heathen. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. When the church member's lifestyle becomes blurred with the lifestyle of the unconverted sinner, because of pursuing the same things that that unconverted sinner pursues, things like sinful pleasures and riches here on this earth, possessions, popularity, position here in this earth. When that happens, the church loses its witness and is no longer effective in winning souls. Is Pleasant Hill Church here in these Pigeon Hills with the Spring Grove address affecting sinners that live around us? And I'll leave that question with each of us to honestly answer. But when we blur our lifestyle with that of the unconverted sinner, that effectiveness is lost. And then we have that word but again in verse 20, and so we change gears. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. In Christ, we learn Christ, and we learn the truth of the gospel and how we ought to live and conduct our lives. Anyone redeemed by the blood of Christ should be ashamed of dabbling in the sins and the wickedness of sinful and unregenerate people. We name the name of Christ, we better be ready to live a separate life, a different life than what we had lived. Henceforth, no more children. Henceforth, again in verse 17, that we would no longer act like those other unconverted Gentiles who are not even professing anything. And then in verses 22 to 24, we have this thought of putting off and putting on. By the grace of God and by that working of God within us, we put off the old. It's a little like 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the former conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yeah, we're talking here about the new life in Christ. Those who are willing to grow up into Christ and experience his fullness, established in him, rooted in him, built up in the faith, no longer children tossed to and fro. You see how this passage continues to build and to complement each other, each verse. In verses 25 to 31, here we have a list of sins and practices that must be left behind by the child of God. They're part of the former. They're part of what was put off. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. I think it's Romans 13, 14. How are we doing? How am I doing? Sins and practices that are listed here need to be left behind. I believe far too many accept Christ, join the church, but do not make a clean enough break from the world and its practices. Verse 32, we change gears again, and here we are once more reminded at the end of this chapter how the child of God will act and behave. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God bless you.
We've been challenging God's word tonight to grow up. As we grow, as we watch the garden grow, as we watch a plant or an animal or a tree grow, there are certain things that we can look for, signs of growth. And I just listed a few that Brother Glenn touched on tonight. Stability is one thing that we can look for in growth. Being stable, not tossed to and fro. Unity, within the body, unity within that plant, unity within a field of corn or wheat. Are we all heading in the same direction? Or do we have the same goal? Are we like-minded with each other? And the third one that I've mentioned here tonight that I've written down is fruit. A sign of growth is fruit. Brother Glenn shared from John chapter 15 about the vine. He that abideth in me beareth much fruit. He talked about the tree that was planted by the rivers. It bears fruit in its season. So stability, unity, and fruit are three signs that we can look for of growth in our lives. Let's stand together as we pray.